Let's open with prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, for bringing us to this place to worship you in community with one another. We ask that your presence would remain with us, that you would fill us with your spirit of love and peace and kindness and mercy. And we ask, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to hear and to receive your message of grace, mercy, and love. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So who here is not familiar with this gospel lesson before us today? Anyone? That's kind of what I was thinking. How many of you here have heard sermons preached on this gospel lesson before? How many of you have heard more than 10 sermons preached on this gospel lesson before? Should we go further? 20 sermons, 30 sermons. Yeah, I mean, this is a pivotal piece of scripture before us. Before I go any further, I want to tell you my how I do things, how I prepare for preaching. And trust me, it has to do with what I'm going to talk about, I think. In the middle of the week, or at the beginning of the week, I'll sit down and I'll look at the readings for the coming Sunday. And I will sit with it, and I'll read it again. And I'll sit with it, and I'll read it again. And then I'll write down some notes and some ideas, and then I leave it alone. Okay, and I go on a few more days in the week, and I sit, and I look at it again. Usually this is when the bulletin arrives on my desk. Okay, and I say, oh, I should look at this. And I do, and I read the gospel, and I sit with it. I think about it. I pray. And I furiously write down notes. Furiously. And then I read it again, and I scratch out everything I wrote, and I write new, different notes down. And then I sit with it again, and then I put it all away. Go on with the rest of all the other things that I need to do. Sunday morning comes. And I get here like really early, like 6:30. And I'll open it up again and I'll read through the gospel, and this time I'll start to underline things that are really kind of sticking out to me. And then I'll really furiously write down notes. Okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm like, yeah, this is great. Oh, okay, this is flowing. This is amazing. Yeah, okay, yeah, this is good. Should I say this? I don't know. We'll figure it out. And I'll just keep doing it. And then I'll paste the notes in my bulletin, and then I will get up, and I'll read the gospel, and I'll get ready to preach through those notes, and I don't even look at them. I don't. Sometimes I do. But oftentimes I don't. That's my process. That's my process for preaching. And the biggest point of that is that there's always something that sticks out at the very last moment. Okay? And I don't know if this is God's cruel sick sense of humor. Okay, but it does this. The Spirit does this to me. I have this whole planned out thing that I'm going to preach, and then something pops up, and I go, oh my goodness, I need to talk about that. But I don't have any notes written down. Well, that's okay. You can do it. You know, the inner script that starts to happen, and then it starts to kind of spin into a negative place. It's like, no, don't do it. You're going to, you know, bleh. So I wrote down new notes. Does that happen this morning? Because we have this gospel that people have heard a message preached many, many different times in many, many different ways. And we see this beautiful picture of Jesus coming to see his cousin John the Baptist, and he wants to be baptized. And that kind of gives us the question, why would Jesus need to be baptized? That's not what I'm going to talk about today. And we see this picture of Jesus being baptized in the River Jordan, and then we have this amazing scene that's painted before us. We see the heavens were opened up to him. Have you ever seen heaven opened? No, I haven't either. But I can imagine it must be fantastic. The heavens were opened up to him. Maybe others around him too, I don't know. And the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. It's so poetic, right? So poetic. I even have a dove tattooed on my arm. It symbolizes preaching the word. And the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And then this great voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." A fantastic picture. And it's one that clergy and preachers around the world today are talking about. There's a piece in there that stuck out to me that has never really come forward before. And I love it when that happens, don't you? That's what makes the word, the words of Jesus in Scripture, this story, it what makes it alive. Is that it's new and it's changing. You want to know what stuck out to me? Good, okay. If you don't want to, I could go on and we could just, I'll talk about it anyway. It's this part. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" That part that rang bells through my head and through my soul. "And do you come to me? Do you, Jesus, come to me?" What's his answer? It's basically, "Yeah, I come to you. We need to do this, so let's do it. To fulfill all righteousness, let's go." And it started to make me think, all these bells started to go off in my mind, and I started to have all these thoughts, and this question came in. How has Jesus come to me? John says, and do you come to me? Jesus says, yes. That means Jesus comes to us as well. Okay? And that is a gospel message. And so I started thinking about, in what ways has Jesus come to me in my life? The first one that popped into my head, I was kind of the part that I debated about sharing or not, because it's kind of strange, but I'm a strange person. I'm hearing buzzing again. Feedback. Positive feedback, thank you. You want to hear the story? Jesus came to me the first time. So Jesus comes to us in many and various ways. Sometimes Jesus comes physically. Sometimes Jesus comes emotionally or spiritually. Sometimes Jesus comes to us through other people. This time, Jesus came to me physically. Yeah, it's true. And it happened when I was, 11? 12? And throughout my life, my childhood, we would go camping every summer. And that was kind of how we would have our vacation. We're pastor's family. My dad's pastor's family. Okay, and so he would become the chaplain at camps. And then we would go there, and that's where we had our vacation, camping at the beach. And he would be the camp chaplain for a month, okay? And then a month at another place. He had a lot of vacation time. And and so it was our life, was living at the beach, which I'm grateful for. We would go, it was at Santa Barbara area. Do you know El Capitan State Beach, Refugio? Have you heard of that? Maybe you have, okay. Okay, so that's where we would be. And we would go up to a place called Pismo Beach. You've heard of Pismo Beach probably, yeah? The Pismo clams and all that stuff. And this beach was amazing because I had waves that broke really far out, okay? And we got there and I was excited because the waves were 6 to 8 feet and there was nobody there. And so I was like, all right, I'm gonna go out. And I had my bodyboard and fins, and so I paddled out. And I was riding waves all by myself. It was just fantastic. fantastic. Great waves. And I took off on this one wave. It was a rather big wave. And I was going, it was a left, and I was going down the line, just having fun, cutting back and forth. It was a long wave. And then all of a sudden, this man pops out of the wave in front of me. He wasn't walking on the water or anything like that. That would be really amazing. But this guy popped out of the water. He's like a Middle Eastern man. He had long hair. He had a beard. And he was just smiling at me as I was going toward him. And his eyes were just full of light and big. And I was caught off guard. I was like, what is it? I almost hit him, you know. And I turned real quick and sprayed him. And I was kind of looking back at him. He just went under the water again. And then I didn't see him after that. I went straight to the shore because it kind of freaked me out. And my dad said, what's wrong? What happened? And I said, I saw Jesus out there. I saw Jesus out there. I don't know if he thought I was serious or not, but to me, that was Jesus. To my 10-year-old, 11-year-old self, that guy was Jesus. And that stuck with me forever. That's one of those life-changing moments, you know, where you kind of go into this moment and then something wild happens and then you don't view the world the same way anymore. I stopped surfing by myself at that point. No, I'm kidding. At that point, it was the busiest lineups I could find. No. That was the first time that I really experienced that. And I don't know, it could have been Jesus, it could have been some guy swimming around, but it made an impact on my life, and Christ was there. How has Jesus turned up for you? There was another time that Jesus showed up for me, and it was years later. I'm sure there were other times, but this is the one that popped into my mind. It was years later, and I was a pastor, and I was sitting with this young man, a police officer from Nevada. We were up in Lake Tahoe, and he was in his final moments. He had been battling cancer for a long time. And I was sitting with him in the ICU of the hospital in Lake Tahoe, and he was not coherent. And he would talk, and it made no sense. And this was kind of how it was for those final days. And I was sitting with him, and he looked at me, and he said, with total coherence, Pastor Joel. At this point, he didn't know who I was. He said, Pastor Joel, God loves you so much. And then back to incoherency, and he passed away. Jesus appeared in that moment. Does Jesus come to us? The answer is yes, by his own words. He comes to us. We just have to be able to see it. How has Jesus come to you in your life? Any brave soul want to share? We're all friends and family here. No? Okay. That's all right. I have another story. Another story?
Yeah.
Okay. This happened to be a time where I was sitting with a woman who had just lost her husband. And I was sitting with her, and she was sobbing so deeply and so intensely that she couldn't breathe between sobs. Have you ever experienced that kind of grief that's so deep? Jesus was there in that moment. Jesus was there in her sobs of love sobs of sadness. Jesus came to me through that as well. Jesus came to me this week. How many of you are on Facebook?
Yeah, pretty much the entire world, it seems like now.
I am too. I occasionally go through it. I was looking through the videos, and this one video popped up. And it wasn't one of those sappy, you know, emotionally manipulative videos that we tend to see on there. It was, all it was this little tiny puppy sitting on a rock howling. Just the biggest, wolfiest howl he could muster. And it was so tiny, the sound that he was making. You know? And I saw God within that. I saw God's creative genius within that. I saw how Jesus has this love for all humanity, even the smallest of creatures, and it reminded me of that, and Jesus was there. The smallest little thing, a little puppy, this fuzzy little guy, looked like a tiny Ewok from Star Wars, and he was just mustering up the biggest howl he could. One final way that Jesus has come to me that I've experienced is just, where was I? I don't even remember where I was. I was up in Kula. And at St. John's Episcopal. And I was sitting on their lawn. And I was just kind of watching the branches, the leaves, just kind of move. And for the briefest amount of time, everything that I had been thinking of just had went away. Everything that I had been anxious about just kind of went away. Everything that I had been thinking about that happened in the past that I regretted just kind of went away. It was no longer present. None of that was there. All that was there was seeing those leaves move in the light. And thinking about God's magnificent creation that's around us. And feeling honored to be able to sit there and observe that. Jesus came to me in that moment. I really feel that every time we open our eyes, we have the opportunity to see how God is working around us, how God is working through us, how God is working through others, how Jesus might pop out of a wave in the last moment. You never know. These things happen. I really think that Jesus caught John the Baptist off guard. It was totally unexpected. John, what was John doing before this? He was out preaching repentance. He would preach, repent for the kingdom of God has come near, right? I don't know that John fully understood just how near the kingdom of God was going to come to him that day. The day that Jesus walked up and said, baptize me. Caught him off guard. It was unexpected. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. When Jesus arrives, it's unexpected. It's last moment, and it's life-changing. And do you come to me? Yeah. Yeah. Jesus comes to you, and Jesus comes to me. Pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for loving us, for helping us and guiding us through life, for showing us your way, for coming to us and meeting us in our place, for walking with us through our daily lives. We know, Lord, that throughout our busy lives, we lose sight of you. and what you're doing around us. It's so easy to lose that sight. We ask that you would continually remind us of your presence, that you are all around us. In the shaking of the leaves and in the smile of a friend or a stranger or a loved one, in the cries and tears of a grieving person. We know that you are there. Help us to realize it every moment of our lives. We pray this in your holy name.